Shimon Krause pushes.
Said in this week's parsha, a very famous ma'isa, said at Klal Yisrael, they were in the midbar. And it said, "Vayir b'nei Yisrael b'midbar, b'nei Yisrael in the midbar, v'yim tzu ish mekoshish eitzim." He was mekoshish eitzim. He was whatever that means. It could be gathering wood, plucking wood, whatever it means. But he was mekoshish eitzim b'yom haShabbat. The first thing we have to know that this mekoshish was over on one of the lametes melachos. The gematria of mekoshish is 740. And the Chassam Sofer said the gematria of Shabbos Lamed Ches is 740 because it was lacking Lamed Ches. Shabbos Lamed Ches. The Mekoshe Eitzim, one man Dama said it was a Slav God, he was only Mekayim Lamed Ches and not Lamed Ches. So Shabbos Lamed Ches is the same gematria as Mekoshe. Mekoshe is without a Vav, and therefore it's 740. It's very interesting, there's a Maisa in Shabbos, Kufnur Amad Beis, there it says a Maisa about Maisa B'chotzed Echot. And this Chotzed were walking along the way, and he saw, that was his fence, Nivrusoloi Peretz, it was broken, and he decided, V'nimlach Oleh decided, and Nimlach means, the Machshava explained, Nimlach means he decided in his mind, in his Machshava. He never actually did any Maisa. And Kiyodua, Hiro is Mutan Shabbos. If a person thinks all his monetary things, and he's only thinking, Hiro is Mutan. You'll have to think in business, al pi halacha. It's not advisable for your heart, but in halacha it's allowed. So, Nimlach Olel, he was thinking about it, how to fix the fence. And then the Mashal said, it says in the Gemara, he remembered it was Shabbos. That means, truth was, it was B'shogeg as well. He forgot it was Shabbos. And he forgot, then he was Mahara. He was thinking. And then he remembered. So two things was leniency. Number one, Hero and Ganson is Mutter. And second of all, it was Shoigig, it wasn't Bemated. Nevertheless, Nimna Oysen Chosid, that Chosid decided he's not going to do the fence up even on a weekday, he's not going to do it up, because there's a Geder in Shmirah Shabbos. And then what happened was a miracle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him a miracle and said, but also below Slap. Slav is a certain type of tree which produces tremendous peiros, and from those peiros he had panosa for himself and anshe beitzim. He had a tremendous reward. Now, who was this chosid echad? Quite often the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda Eloi, but who, looking back in generations, who was it? So I don't understand these things, but it says in the Sefer Shara Galgulim, it was the Gilgul of Slavchot. It was the Gilgul of Slavchot. Because this was a kapara, he was a guild of Slavka, because Slavka was nichshal in Shmir Shabbos, he was nichshal in Chilul Shabbos, whatever kavon he had, but there was some sort of michshel, and this chosid echad was a kapara for Slavka. So the Chasam says very interesting. He says we find that he had a reward, slav chad, he wants slav. So we see there is a kapara. Now what exactly was the aveira of what he did? What was the actual aveira? True, and not only that, he said vidoy. But nevertheless, I suppose he still needed some element. You're right. He had vidoy, he had skila, but nevertheless, somehow or another, he still needed some form of kapara. Perhaps there were other elements. It says, in Daf Tzadik Vav on Beis in tomorrow's Shabbos, it says the three shittas, what exactly was that aveira he did? So one man Doma says he was Maver Dalad Amit Bishus Arabim, which means he took the piece of wood, or these pieces of wood, and he took it from, he did Akira, he took it from place A, and he took it outside Dalad Amit, and he took it, Dalad Amit into Bishus Arabim. He was already in Bishus Arabim, he moved it from A to B more than Dalad Amit. Another shitta says that he was Toilish, that means it was koitzer, he was harvesting. He took the pieces of wood, apparently he needed a piece of wood for something, and he took it, and that was the aveira. in general, what is the malach of kotzer? The malach of kotzer is that you cut pieces of wood because you need the piece of the wood. For instance, in those days, you used to use wood for firewood. So you would cut the piece of wood for firewood. Kotzer does not mean that you cut the piece of wood and you're just doing it for pruning. Because for pruning, it might be another variable. But here we're talking about kotzer. Kotzer means you cut the piece of wood for the sake of the wood. And the other mandomah holds it was ma'amar, it was gathering. He gathered it all together. And obviously ma'amar also, the idea of ma'amar is you gather it because you need the piece of the wood, not that you're going to throw it in the sea later. So it's a very interesting thing that the Rechaim HaKadosh says, that based on this we find in the Pasuk Lamed Beit says, Vayil b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. So the Rechaim HaKadosh said, what do you mean Vayil b'nei Yisrael b'midbar? What do you need the prefix for? We know they were in the Midbar. Why did I say B'nai Yisrael were in the Midbar? So the Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh says like this, the Behemoth you could have a bit difficult. Was he Taka Ibra and Avera? Let's talk about the first Shitta. The first Shitta said he was Mavad Al-Gam B'Shut Arabim. That is Melech HaSitzah. Now it's got to be a Rishus Harabim. So in order to be Rishus Harabim, the Gemara in Shabbos Dachovim, they said, a Rishus HaRabim has to have, according to one Shitta, has to have 600,000, Shishim Riboy. Where was Shishim Riboy? Not only that, the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Vavon Beis, it says that in general, a Midbar is not Rishus HaRabim, because anyone who goes to a Midbar knows that it's desolate, and there's no people there, and it's completely, no one there, no civilization. At most, it's a Carmelist, but it's not a Rishus HaRabim. How can you call it Rishus HaRabim? So the Gemara there said in Daf Vavon Beis, there is one Braisa that mentions Midbar under the list of Rishut HaRabim, and mentions Midbar, so the Gemara says, how can Midbar be Rishut HaRabim? So the Gemara answers, as the Midbar is Rishut HaRabim, is Man Shol Yisrael Shurim by Midbar. When B'nai Yisrael were in the Midbar, and it was talking 600,000, then they were in the Midbar, in fact there were 3 million people, but we're talking about 600,000 over 20, we told you said. So there were 600,000 people there, and they were in the Midbar. That's when, at least in that place, it's Rishut HaRabim. So let's say you want to put it in today's vernacular, you could say like this. Let's say you have an American army camp, and they settled in Antarctica, and they set up the camp there, and according to at least the viewpoint, you need 600,000. Let's say they've got 600,000. That would be a Rishut HaRabim, even though it's within a very desolate surrounding. So the Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh said, in case you got difficult, how can you say it was over on Ma'avid Dava Dam Rishut HaRabim, it said, Vayil B'nai Yisrael B'Midbar. B'nai Yisrael were there in the Midbar. They were B'zman Yisrael Shurim B'Midbar. Now the other question is, if you say it was Mekoshes, or you say he was gathering wood, or he chopped wood, where was the wood? Well, you don't find wood in the desert. So it said it was Be'er Miriam. Be'er Miriam produced wood and produced all things. In fact, one saw that. How could Kalash be Mekayim Arba Minim in the Midbar? Were they Mekayim Arba Minim? So you could say they were Mekayim Arba Minim. Where did they get Arba Minim from? So they say the Be'er Miriam produced like an oasis. It produced all types of, from the water, it produced all types of plantation. So that all sounds to him. There's not the Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh. Vayu B'nei Yisrael B'Midbar. B'nei Yisrael were in the Midbar, and because B'nei Yisrael were in the Midbar, that Be'er Miriam. Because of the Be'er Miriam, they had plantation. Now you understand where they got the wood from. So that's how he understands it. So whichever Shitta we say that he was Mechalel Shabbos, one of the Lamtes Melachas, depends on what argument which one, and it was, we'll see later, it was Mechalel Shabbos B'Fahesia. It's very interesting, because just to understand, we find in Gemara Sanhedrin, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu had a Sofik. Because if you look in the Pesukim, when this whole Maisa happened, it was brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Vayakribo Isa Mitzim, those who found him, brought him, and he put him in a prison, Kiloi Foyrash, he wasn't explained, it wasn't clear, Maya Osloi, what should be done to him? What do you mean it wasn't clear what should be done to him? So the Gemara Sanhedrin explains that this, also Gemara in Baba Basra, Sanhedrin Ayachesan Beit, and Baba Basra, Kavyotesan Beit, it says as follows. It says like this. He said he wasn't sure. Moshe Rabbeinu knew it stayed Mechalel Moshe Yomot. So anyone who prefers Shabbos is Chai Misa. But the question is, yes, he's Chai Misa, but which Misa is it? He wasn't sure. Is it Chenek or is it Skila? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure. And that was his suffix. He knew it was Chai Misa. He knew it was Chai Misa. But he didn't know which Misa he deserved. So Tosfos explains very interesting. What exactly was his sophic? So Tosfos explains his sophic was as follows. Stam Misa, said Mechalei Avoy Shimon, Stam Misa is with Chenek. And therefore, there should be no sophic, because Stam Misa is with Chenek. So Mechalei Avoy Shimon, Moshe Rabbeinu should have understood that. It's Chenek. What was the sophic? What was he? Yeah, but I'm sure you'll get Chenek. All that would mean you have to.
No.
There's a kash b'fnei atzmoi. As how could they give a straw? There's one, two shittas in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to when you give a straw, you have to tell him which misa it is. You don't just tell him you're mechal Shabbos. It's a brilliant question. The Gemara itself is there. I'm sure you deal with it. There's pages and pages dealing with your kasha. But yeah, so we'll go according to the other mandom. You don't need to. It's two mandom. So Moshe Rabbeinu had the suffix. Moshe Rabbeinu had the suffix, and his suffix was Esher, perhaps, that he was, since he was Mechalel Shabbos Befahesya, therefore it was in public, therefore it was in front of a multitude of people. Befahesya really means just 10 people, that's what it means, 10 Yidin. It was in front of 10 Yidin, therefore, we know that the Gemara in Chulin is brought elsewhere in the Erevin. Mechalel Shabbos Befahesya Ke'ilu Oyved Avodah Zarah. It's Oyved Avodah Zarah. Now, a person with Oyved Avodah Zarah gets Skila. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure. Does he fall under the normal category of Mechalel Moshe Shimos, which is Stam Misa Vilchenet? Or perhaps, the way Tosfos explained it, could be he's in a different category. He's under the category of Oyved Avodah Zarah. And since Oyved Avodah Zarah, then he gets Skila. Perhaps that was what he deserved. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure. So we'll see, what did the Kodesh Baruch Hu answer? Because Baruch Hu answered him as follows. The person should die. It's very interesting. Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu say he should die? Moshe Rabbeinu knew he should die. But he carries on. Rogim Oisei Bavonim. Stone him with stones. And therefore he deserves Skila. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu's Sophic was a real Sophic. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu answered him, as the truth is, you're right. As, yes, he should get Skila. He should get Skila. So first of all, I want to ask a question. Let's say someone with Mechal Shabbos Betzina. It's not my question, but we'll talk it out. Someone with Mechal Shabbos Betzina in private. And then he's brought to Beis Din, and Beis Din decide, well, we've got to put him to Misa. What Misa does he get? What Misa does he get? I would say Halacha L'maisa, the times of the Sanhedrin. What Misa would he get?
Chenek.
No, you get Skila.
Sure.
Yeah, you get Skila.
Not
you get. Sorry? So Rabbi Avraham Fred, Rabbi Kiva Eger's Kasha. Rabbi Avraham was asking Rabbi Kiva Eger's Kasha, because Rabbi Kiva Eger asked like this. After all said and done, the way Tosfos explains the Sovik of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure, is he Chenek because the same Chalem Moshe Yomot, the Stam Yisid Chenek? Oh no, this person's a unique exception. I wouldn't say exception, but he's got a unique severity. What is it? Why? Because it says he mechal shabbos v'hetzer ki ilu over the word zara, and the Torah says he's koifa, he's denying ma'aser b'reishis. So such a severity, he deserves skila. So the question Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, okay, so in that case, take the average person who, let's say, was mechal shabbos b'tzina, and the agent bring him in front of Beis Din, then perhaps he should only get chenek. So Rabbi Abraham said, yeah, perhaps he does get chenek, but the Mishnah Sanhedrin said he gets skila. So the question of Kiva Ege is, why does he get Skila? Because Sparkle just said, Rod Moshe Babonim, perhaps it's only regarding someone in the Mechal Shabbos Vesya, in the case of the Koshi, the Mechal Shabbos Vesya. So, in order to answer it, I've seen one answer, like this. Whenever we talk about Misa, we're not talking about Misa Bedei Shemayim, we're talking about Misa Bedei. Now, how does a person get Misa Beis Din? Very simple rules. First of all, he's got to have two Edim. So admittedly, two Edim is not 10 people, because Mechal Shabbos Vesya means 10 people. So it's only two people. Very interesting, just to point out, the Mishnah Berurah, interesting, Mishnah Berurah in the Shin Mem Hei, in the Bir Alochas, is medayek from the words of the Potter. It says, Vayimtzu'u Oisoi, and they found him, that he was in a quiet alleyway. He wasn't literally in a public thoroughfare, he was in a quiet alleyway. But he to find him. When you find something not in a public place, find it in a quiet place, and they found him. So let's say, so let's go back to the average person. So let's say two people find him. So you would say this person was Mechal Shabbos Betzino, and this is the question. However, it's not so possible. Because the halacha is, obviously, who do the two people bring him in front of? In front of Chof Gimel Dayonim, in front of 23 Dayonim. So eventually, as the events take place, the process of events, sequence of events, is it doesn't just remain the two people. Eventually, it gets known. There's in front of Chof Gimel Dayonim. So now we've got more than 10. So although the actual Maisa was done in front of two, because it has to be done in front of two in order to get Hasra, Eidim Hasra, in order to get Misa, but nevertheless, since eventually it ends up in front of 23 Dayanim, that is called Bafasya. That is called Bafasya.
Everything is Bafasya.
Yes, yes.
So you, don't need
you never get, according to what Rabbi Rom saying, that in any case that comes in front of Basin, that will end up with a Misa, will always be Mechal Shabbat Bafasya. According to that Pshat, could be there's audio, I'll tell you why. But according to that Pshat, Mechal Shabbat, if it's going to end up in front of the basin and it's going to get a Misa, it will always, in essence, be Mechal Shabbat Fasya. Because in the sequence of events, it will always end up in front of 23 people. That's one answer. Just to elaborate on this answer, it's a very interesting thing. We know this, it's brought in Halacha, Mechal Shabbat Fasya, is a special dinim about him, as opposed to Mechal Shabbat Betzino. Now let's say, by the way, Mechal Shabbat Betzino, you say, where's the case of Mechal Shabbat Betzino? When it's not Misa's basin. Mechal Shabbat Betzino is not Misa's basin. So they are or Nachaminas, for instance, regarding Eidabin, do you have to rent a deer and so on? Also regarding Ziyayin, is it Ziyayin Yan Nesach? So on, very practical Nachaminas. Also in times of Beis Hamikdash, would you accept a carbon from him? Someone says in Chulin, Dafayim Beis, someone with Mechalel Shabbos Bevahesya, you wouldn't accept a carbon in the Dom from him. Only two people, either Mumma L'Chalatari Kula, or Mumma L'Nasach Yayin, which is Dabu Dazara. There's two extremely severe cases where you don't accept a korban nedava. One is mechal shabbos befahesya, and one is menasich yayin lifnei avodah zarah, which is the case of mumal avodah zarah. But those are the only two cases you don't accept a korban nedava for it. So if so, it's interesting to know what is called in a halachic perspective. What is called mechal shabbos befahesya? How do you deem it? How do you categorize it? How do you define it? What is the case of Mechal Shabbat Fahesya? So first of all, it's interesting to speak out that imagine a person is going in front of 10 people, is Mechal Shabbat. So Pashtus is Mechal Shabbat Fahesya. But if this self-same person is embarrassed in front of an Adam Choshev, even though it's in front of 10 people, it's not called Mechal Shabbat Fahesya. Because there's such an embarrassment. The idea, the concept of Mechal Shabbat Fahesya is because it's embarrassed. Because it's not embarrassed. It's a chutzpah. It's an adam. It's a brazenness. But if he's embarrassed in front of Adam Choshev, the Mishpura Ben Zan is based on a Gemara, that it's not called Mechal Shabbat Fasya. Another case is, obviously, where the Mechal Shabbat Fasya is done in front of 10 people. Now the question is, Mishpura Ben Zan from the Prima Godin in Shin Mem Hei, what would be as follows? No, Shin Sam Hei. What would be as follows? A person in Mechal Shabbos, in front of one or two people, but he knows Chavrach to Chavrach Islay. Everyone, you know, tells a friend. He knows that as a fact. And he knows the whole Olam will get to know about it. And everyone will get to know the Mechal Shabbos. And he does it nevertheless. He knows. In other words, he knows, although he's doing the actual action in front of only two people, three people, but he knows that eventually it will get to be known in front of other people. Is that Mechal Shabbos Fahesya? In practical terms, regarding his wine, his Yayin Nesach and so on, regarding Erevin, is it called Mechal Shabbat Fasya? So Mishnah Berurah brings down b'shem the Prima Godin that is called Mechal Shabbat Fasya. So we see that if a person knows that eventually it's going to be known in front of other people, that is Mechal Shabbat Fasya. So now we can understand again what we said before. That this Mekoshes is true, he only did it in front of two Eidim. True, that's what we find in the Pasuk. Two Eidim gave him a Asra, he continued doing the Maisa. But nevertheless, because he knew that two Eidim were going to take him in front of Chof Gimel Dayanim, that is called Mechal Shabbat Fasya. Another answer that could be given is as follows. as why, let's say it's not called Machal Shem Fetzim, because he didn't do the actual mice in front of 10 people. You could say like this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, Rogim, he said, Moish Yumas, Vayoyim Hashem al Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Mois Yumas, he shall die. Now, why did the HaKadosh Baruch Hu say he should die? Moshe Rabbeinu, we said, knew he's going to die. He had a sobbing, is it chenet, or is it skila? But he knew he was going to die. So why did they have to say to him, Mois Yumas? Why did they have to say to him he's going to die? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Prophet should have just said, Rog the Moshe Babonim. He asked me, is it skila chenet? So I tell you what, Rog the Moshe Babonim. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to give a preface, give an introduction? Yes, Mois Yumas it is. So I saw Pshat in Chavasel as a Shor, and he said like this. Mois Yumas it is, because Baruch Hu said to him like this. In case you think, when I say Rog Mois Bavonim, it's because of Hilchas Avid Zorah. Because Kol and Chav Shabbat Vestri, Kiklu Yiv Deva Zorah, and it's in that category, it's Avid Zorah, think of that category. And therefore, someone with Chav Shabbat Sina remains with Chelet, he says no. Mois Yumas it is, that famous Pasuk of Chaleah, Mois Yumas, I'm referring back to that Pasuk. You want to know the definition? How do you understand Mois Yumas is that famous Pasuk Mechaleh Mois Yumas? The definition is, the explanation is Rog Mois Babonim. He's explaining back into the Pasuk of Mechaleh Mois Yumas. The Kodesh Baruch Hu especially prefaced with that to explain that what I'm telling you now is an explanation of that Pasuk Mois Yumas. That's another pshat we can perhaps answer the Kasha Rukimayim. It's very interesting. The Mashal asks, well, first of all, it's interesting. What was the Mekoshis? We know, everyone knows that the one shita that said it was Slavchot, but we know that when the Benois Slavchot explained to Moshe Rabbeinu, they wanted to mitigate the circumstance, they wanted to explain that it wasn't a terrible Aveira, it was Bechetoy Meis in his Chet, he died, and what they meant to say, he was only Mekoshis, he only sinned Bechidus. And the truth is, as Toshin Bob Basak of your test, Toshin says as follows. He said, it brings a magic. He said, what was Slavchot's Kabbalah? L'shem Shemayim Niskavim. And Targum Yonis also said, L'shem Shemayim Niskavim. What was his Kabbalah? He said, Magic said very interesting. He said, they were holding, you look at the sequence, in the Psukim, we're holding after the Meraglim. So Kaddish Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, you're not going to enter the Midbar for 40 years now. That's it. Finished. You can't enter Eretz Yisrael. For 40 years, you're not going to Eretz Yisrael. It's out of the your mind now, for the next 40 years in the Midbar. So Klal Yisrael, or some of Israel, Klal Yisrael mistakenly thought, well, if we're not entering Eretz Yisrael, we don't have to keep the Dinim of the Torah. Because the Dinim of the Torah is only, well, they thought it was only applicable in Eretz Yisrael. Heading towards Eretz Yisrael, that's why we keep the Dinim of the Torah. However, here in the Midbar, it's not so important. So they schwachened up in Hilchos Shabbos, they weakened in their Shemiras Shabbos, and the whole Olam, the whole Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, got weak. It wasn't just Slavchot. In fact, Slavchot was strong in the Hilchos Shabbos. And therefore, Slavchot Hashem Shemayim Niskavim, and he did this in order to show the severity of the Aveira. As Chas V'Shalom, someone from Chal Shabbos is going to get Misa. It was to put a stop to what they were doing. It was to put a stop to all the whatever weakness in the Hilchos Shabbos they were doing. So the truth was, the Torah brings in the name of the Medrash, it was Hashem Shemayim Niskavim. He wouldn't have Hashem Shemayim. However, there's a very interesting question, Mashal asks. Even Mechaven, he had in mind the Shem Shemayim, then how could he do a Chil Shabbos?
Shem Shemayim.
Yeah. What type of question is that? Such a severe Aveira. Now, truly, you shouldn't even do a Aveira Kala, but such a severe Aveira of Mechal Shabbos. Yeah. I know only that Mechal Shabbos Vesher. I know only that Kilo that we deserve. What's the Shem Shemayim? I mean, if everyone goes with the Cheshbonis, who knows, Chalila, what can happen? You have to keep the Torah. What was his Cheshbon Bechal? And that's the Mashal asked. Mashal asked it in Sanhedrin. So the Mashal answered a very interesting answer. And in order to understand this answer, we have to know a basic Machlokes regarding Hilchos Shabbos. We know that if someone digs a boil, a pit, and he digs a pit, and you see a whole hill of soil that he's made, and he digs the pit, he has been Mechal Shabbos. But the question is, what Chil Shabbos has he done? He's dug a pit, so what? What's he done? So the answer is, he's done Charisha. Let's say he digs a pit outside, digs a pit in the field, it's Charisha. What is Charisha? Charisha is ploughing. So let's say a person tills the soil, it improves the soil, it turns over the soil, that is Charisha. Anything that improves the soil, tilling over the soil, is Charisha. For instance, there's a loch, you shouldn't play marbles or bowls on grass. Why? In case you might make a trench, and might make something in the soil, and that is Charisha. Charisha is tilling any form of tilling the soil, turning over the soil. So what would happen if a person dug a hole? Digging a hole is Chayrish. However, what would happen if a person dug a hole, and his kavana was like this? I don't want to dig the hole for the sake of the hole. Because if you dig the hole for the sake of a hole, that is Charisha. Anything to improve or change the soil, making a hole in the soil, etc., that is Charisha. But what happens, he's not interested in the hole. Not at all interested in the hole. He's interested in one thing. He wants the soil. He's a builder, he's an architect, and he needs the soil for his building his building. As far as he's concerned, he's not interested in the hole. And if the hole wasn't there, he'd be even happier. And why he's digging the hole? Only to provide himself with the soil. Is he chayev or potter? Oh, that's a taste, yeah. They said, there's another word, which is very close to him, yes, you're right. Malocha shein tzrich l'gufa. If a person does a malocha on Shabbos, and he does a malocha, and as far as we can see, he's doing the action of malocha. But he doesn't have the kavana for what the Chazal say you have to have the kavana for, that is called a malocha, it's a ma'aseh malocha, shein tzrich, you don't need it l'gufa, for the purpose that normally you need to have it for. So for instance, the way that we understand in Gemara Shabbos, Chayrish is, you're digging the hole for the sake of the hole, for the sake of the soil. So he did the Maisa, but he didn't do the Kavana, he didn't do the Tachlis. The purpose of it was, this particular person, he did it with the purpose of providing himself with soil. That's Malacha, the action of Malacha. She'ein Sricha, he doesn't need it to go for the normal purpose of the Malacha. What is halacha? It's very important because Rabbanim, Poiski, and Moreh Ro use it the whole time when they want to make a tzirah, let's say, so now, very often they say trader Rabbanans, and b'machkam tzirah, and so on and so forth. So we want to know, what is the halacha? Let's talk min ha-Torah. What's the halacha min ha-Torah regarding such a halacha? So Rabbi Yehuda said, Yechai. Rabbi Yehuda said, it doesn't matter what your kavana is, as long as you did the action, that was the action that was done in the Mishkan, Yechayv. Yechayv in the Torah, and therefore, Chalila would be in the times of Basin, it would be Chayv Misa. But if Shimon holds, but Shimon, he holds Melacha, She'ei Tzrich Al-Guv, you're not doing it for the purpose that was in the Mishkan, or the purpose that the Chazal felt it was important for, you're potter. The truth is, potter means that in the Torah, in our Torah, it never came into consideration at all. Chazal came along and said it's osa. That means it's osa midrabbanan. So it could very well be, according to the sequence of events, at the time of Matan Torah, before the Chazal said it was osa, according to Rav Shimon, it was completely mutter, it could have been. It could be that it was completely mutter. Later on, in the times of the Gemara, the Chazal asked it, a gezeira. But from the Torah point of view, min our Torah, it could have been completely mutter at the time of Matan Torah, when they were in the Midbar. By the way, how do we paskin? Rambam paskin is interesting enough, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're chayv, but most are showing in paskin that you're potter. But now it's potter, avalosa, it's also mitrabon. But at least we could say in the Midbar, first of all, it certainly mitigates the circumstances, because certainly if the Mekoshes was going to the corner of Shimon, then it's Melachot Shein Tzrich, so whatever I will come to in a minute, we'll see why it is a Melachot Shein Tzrich Al-Gufa. It's a Melachot Shein Tzrich Al-Gufa, which in the time of Matan Torah may have been in completely mutter. Oh, because he knew what he was thinking. Now you may ask, let's take one of the Melachot. Let's say he was Ma'avir Dal Adam Pshut Sarabim, and then we can use it for the other Melachot. When he was Ma'avir Dal Adam Pshut Sarabim, it means he wants to take it from A to B. Or take the case of Kotzer. He's harvesting, he's cutting the wood in order to obtain the wood. That is the Melacha min ha-Torah. Did he have Kavana to chop the wood because he wanted the wood? Was that his Kavana? No. Mashal said very interesting. That wasn't his Kavana. Maskol said his kavana was to show Klal Yisrael Yechan Misa. He wasn't interested in the wood. He had absolutely no interest in the wood. He'd be happy not to have the wood. He only did it in order, I want Klal Yisrael to see that a person Chan Misa. He wanted to put trepidation in Klal Yisrael to see the severity of being Chal Shabbos. So he wanted to show them, he himself wanted to be put to death. He wanted to be Chan Misa in order to show Klal Yisrael to stop a breach in Chil Shabbos. And that was his kavana. And therefore, Mashiach explains that is Malacha She'ein Shrichul Gufa. And at the time of Matan Torah, it was Mutter. Now, what's very interesting, you can ask. Mr. Adams, an official asked the Galal Gekasha. Mr. Adams asked as follows. He said, they took the Moitz away from Kodesh to Moitz Olam. And it says, first of all, why was Moshe Rabbeinu at all a Sofik? Chenek, Skila, what was a Sofik? It was not Shrichel Gufa, it was no Chimisa. So the answer is, Masha asked that Kasha. Masha answers that basically only passed in accordance with what their eyes see. Slavkod didn't go and tell them what his Kavanah was, because if he would have told them his Kavanah, the whole thing would have fallen apart. He didn't tell them, he kept quiet. So Moshe Rabbeinu and the basin, all they could see was that, yes, he is Chaim Misa. And based in past and according to what the eyes see, there's nothing wrong. They haven't got the laser beam, they don't know what's going on in his heart. They have no idea. They have no idea what he's thinking, and he wouldn't tell them what he's thinking. He refused to tell them. See, obviously he played along with them. So he led them to think that Taki did need the answer. So, So Rabbi Ron Fred, Rabbi Chonan's Kasha. Rabbi Chonan in... Rabbi Kilega, Rabbi Chonan's Molding. Yeah. So it says, Rabbi Chonan asked Baba Basra. Baba Basra, Rabbi Chonan asked the Kasha, which I don't even want to come to try to answer because it's dangerous. Rabbi Chonan asked the Kasha, and he leaves it like a Kasha. He said, I'll tell you the Kasha. It's what you said. He said, admittedly, Moshe Rabbeinu is a basin, and a basin only passed and according to what their eyes see. But the Rebbeinu Shloilam knew what was in his heart. And Rebbeinu Shloilam knew everything. And what did he say in the Bosom? Ayyim Hashem al Moshe. Moshe, you master ish. How could Kisborchu say that? How could Kisborchu paskin? It's Chaim Misa. Kisborchu alone knew that he was Melach Tzedekul Gufa. So how can Kosh Baruch Paskin, there's Chag Misa? No, I haven't got an answer. Rabbi Chonan leaves it as a question. I prefer not even to look for answers. It's too dangerous. So Rabbi Chonan asks that Kasha. Based on this idea of the Mashal, that's Melach Tzedekul Gufa, if you do a Misa, but you've got an overriding idea because you're doing it for, like, the case of Slachot, there was a question asked. So the Shalosh Tshuva Torah Lishma, Shalosh Tshuva Torah Lishma is Rabbi Yosef Chaim, the Kaf Chaim. The Kavachai, and he was asked the following shaila. There was a person who was in, staying overnight somewhere. He had nowhere to stay, and he found this old building, desolate building. He went into the building, it was all dark, and it was Friday night, and Shabbos, and it was dark, and he wanted to sleep there. He didn't want to be asleep in the street where it was full of bandits and open to the elements, so therefore he went into this desolate building. And an hour later came a group of Goyisha ruffians, bandits, and who knows what, that they could have, if they would have known his Eid, they would have, it could, I'm not saying they would have killed him, but he would have had a rough time. They would have perhaps dragged him out and given him a few pech, to put it mildly, and it was not Sakonis de Foshid, but some form of danger to him. It wasn't very comfortable. So what did he do? He was under tremendous duress, tremendous pressure, and he was terrified. See, he lit the candle, which is Madlik, Hadlokid, one of the Lama Tesmalochas. And by lighting the candle, it was a way of showing them, I'm a Goy. I'm not a Yid, because it could be because they thought a Yid wouldn't light a candle on Friday night. Or that he showed he wasn't scared. So you shouldn't think I'm a Yid, I'm a Goy. So he lit the candle. After the whole mice happened, sometime later, his conscience pricked him. What's it? Did he do? How wrong was it? What did he do? What? How did he find the Maisa? So he sent the Shaila to Rabbi Yosef Chaim, the Kaf Chaim, and the Kaf Chaim in Shabbat Torah Lishma Simkuf Chav Dalid. He says to him, "He says, since your overriding factor was not for the sake of the light. The sake of the light is to give life. On the contrary, you prefer no light, and you don't want light. The overriding factor was to make out you need light, because his way of making out that you need the light was a way of showing that I'm a goy, not a you. So it was a way of, but you didn't need the light. You only did it because of fear of the goy. And therefore, it wasn't Sricha L'Gufa. You didn't need it for what the normal intention is. Normally, you light a candle in order to give you light. You didn't want the light. You only made out you wanted the light in order to avoid the goyim, to avoid the sorrows from the goyim. And he based himself on the Mashah, and it's like Melacha Sricha L'Gufa. In Halacha, Halacha L'Maisa, Melacha Sricha L'Gufa is potter, but it's also. So he said, at least I've mitigated the circumstances, not a Chiv Misa, Chiv Dreisa. It is a Chiv Rabbani, after Kapara, but it wasn't that severe. It's very important to know, even the Cholid, someone in Mechal Shabbos, how severe was the Aveda. So he told them that was the thing. And the Igbis Moshe explains, by the way, we shouldn't think that if a father said to a son, Basel. Oh, so the truth is, you're right. That's why in the story it seems to be, there wasn't Bekuch Nefesh, it could be the Sekonis Eva. The guy would give him a good pet. But it wasn't Sakonis the Foshes. It was Sakonis. It seems in the story, in the whole Shaila, it was a Sakona, but it wasn't Sakonis the Foshes. That's a chart. Yeah, you're right. It was Sakona, but not Sakonis the Foshes. It was an overall danger. But Ramosha, the Igbis Moshe points out that certainly, if a father said to his son, Bashel, the Gemara in Bormis talks about it, cook me something, and the son cooks him something, that is Chil Shabbos, and that's Melacha Shrichel Gufa. Because what Shabbos? Because they're cooking for the sake of another person. Cooking for someone doesn't have to be for yourself, it can be for anyone. So he's cooking for his father. He's doing it out of Kippodah or Yirisah, but he's not doing it for an ulterior motive. He's doing it for the sake of someone who wants to eat. That is certainly Melacha Shrichel Gufa. And that's, but in this case, where it was an overriding factor, was a fear of the goyim that the main given clip. That was Melacha Shrichel Gufa. There's a very interesting, we have to know, just to point out, it seems to be that when we do Melacha Shrichel Gufa, you could perhaps ask that it's Devarim Shebelev. Devarim Shebelev in Devarim, but that doesn't seem to be a criteria at all. Why? Because Devarim Shebelev. Yeah, no, but what was the Ptor? The Ptor. That doesn't seem to be a question, because in Melachos of Shabbos, there's a Gemara Chagiga, Daf Yod, it said quite explicitly, Meleches and Machsheves Osra Torah. We go after the Machshava. Two people can do identical Maisa, but one has such a Machshava, and one has such a Machshava. One person who did it Shrichel Gufa is Chayev, and the one who did it Shrichel Gufa Mutter, Mutter, even though they're both identical Maisim. That is a Chiddush of Shabbos. You don't find by so many other halachas at all. That's the Chiddush of Shabbos. In Hilchis Kinyonim, it's different. There we say the famous Gemara in Kedushin, Devarim Shemalevi and Devarim. There it's different. You do a Mashiach, you buy a car. And you did all the halachas of how you acquire a car. You did Mashiach, you drove it, whatever the Dayanim tell you to do. And then you go a bit later to the Dayanim and say, I didn't really want to buy the car. So what? Did you say it? You didn't say it. It's Devarim Shemalevi. Devarim Shemalevi ain't a Devarim. So that's regarding Hilchis Kinyonim. But in Hilchis Shabbos, certainly we have to say Devarim Shemalevi have a Devarim.